We're doing the Chesed Avram, Maisa Choshev, Beis Tzadik Tes, and this version, in the middle of the second column. Amnam Da, Keilu HaBeis Osios Heim Shtayim Shem Arba, Mem Mem. Sometimes you have a letter, and you write it out, it's mem and mem, it's twice, two times. V'chein yud moshechez vov dal, asher cheshbonim eser. Nim v'shem yud yud. Yud also, you have the same thing. We have ourselves a yud, we write yud, yud vov dal. That's what we write out of yud. So it's Vav Dalet is of course 10. And Yud is 10. So it's 10 and 10. Just like when you write a Mem, it's Mem and Mem. When you write out a Yud, you want to write Yud as in writing Aleph. Let's say Aleph, Lamed, Pei. You know? So Yud is Yud, Vav Dalet. So it's Yud plus Vav plus Dalet is another Yud. Fine. Vim Timne Mem Mem. Yud Yud Be'es Osios on the material. So he said like this. We're talking here about Yam, right? Yam. Elokim has five letters. Aleph, Lamed, He. It's like Ela, and then Yud, Mem. So we said Mitzrayim has the Yud and the Mem. That's theirs. So when you write Yud, it's Yud, Vav, Dalet. So it's two Yuds. Two tens. When you write Mem, it's Mem and Mem. Fine. So he says, if you take that Cheshbon, and you say, I have a Mem and a Mem, and then I have a Yud Vav Dalet and Yud Vav Dalet, right? You have these two Yuds which can be each written out, Yud Vav Dalet, Yud Vav Dalet. So it comes out that we have 200. There's another 10, because there's 10 aspects which we'll see a lot about. These 10 Das, the 10 Das in Chesed and in Gura. So that is another 10. So that is the amount of time we were in Egypt, Redu. That was to subdue Paro's grasp. In the other camp.
Where is that located in this verse? That there is 26 and there's 2, there's 21.
Okay, Elohim is Din.
It's
Din.
Din is judgment, right?
Judgment, that's right. Din is judgment. So what that means, okay, what is going on? What's going on is like this. Hashem created something called nature. Nature, Hateva, right, the natural world, in Hebrew, has the same numerical value as Elohim. Because you don't really see what's happening. You just see that nature. And that includes the world of deeper things too. You know, that people are connected and how they're connected and how to... all sorts of things. Visualization comes in here. Lots of things come into the world and are inclusive of what is the world. I met someone, he was very ill. He had a growth. He started doing positive thinking. So he's talking, he wasn't religious. He had been to Israel and he had got a lot from Torah, but he just couldn't make the leap to really hold on, but it was very beneficial anyway. So he decided to call all his old friends. He said, I need an operation now. I'll call, I don't know, trying to focus the positive thoughts and positive things, but then actually on his growth, they're going to open me up, they're going to hopefully take it out, hope it's not malignant, God forbid. And he did all sorts of positive focusing and prayer and it came the day of the surgery, they open him up, there's nothing there. Gone? Strange, okay. You know, so like sometimes a person, he's focusing on it, it's not, this is the way Hashem made the world. The human mind has tremendous power, we have tremendous power to do anything we want. We have to be careful what we think, you know, the famous stuff, be careful what you wish for.
An average son was born with a hole in his heart.
Who is this?
There's an Everest. Wow. Here, son was born with a hole in his heart. And Rav said, okay, just go daven in 6 hours. It's hard. So they everyone did what they do. And then the time of surgery came, they opened the kid up and his heart was completely fine. And their doctor was so sorry, you know, we didn't realize there's nothing wrong with his heart.
This happens sometimes. Can't go. The power of prayer, you have all these powers, there's a lot, it doesn't even matter where you're coming from. Hashem made things in the world.
Yeah.
That's what Hashem made. Hashem made it so that a person, like the verse says, if I feel love for someone, they're going to feel love for me. That's just the way it works. It's also a natural. There are ways I can fight the love, I can remind one, I can work on it, but that's just the way it is. And the same thing with hatred. When I feel angry and upset at someone, they're going to feel resented, and it's going to be two-way street. No matter how, who I am, wherever I am inside with someone, they're going to feel it, and they're going to know it. That's just the way it is. That's the way Hashem made the world. That's the nature. It's a spiritual nature, but it's a nature nevertheless. Because it doesn't have to do with meeting the person. It's going to be something inside very often, if I'm close, where I can feel what's going on. Very close, especially very, very close friends and spouses, especially to really feel where we're holding now. It's better, it's not better, you can just feel it. If you're open to it. But these are all part of nature. So Paro had the spiritual content of the natural world, this Elohim, right? He had the last two letters of Yud and Mem. That's what he held on to. We need to use the natural world to find God. We need to use the natural world to give us understanding. And to realize that, you know, the natural world, it came from somewhere. Like Reb Galinsky's, it's like a perfect example of the foolishness of saying, well, it just came into being. He says, this guy wrote out, he wrote out a check for $1 million. He said, you owe $1 million. Where's the money? Is this your signature? Well, yeah. We knew that. We have other signatures. You have a very distinctive signature. I mean, no one else could sign this. But I don't know that I signed it. What? How could you not have signed it? Maybe, I don't know, maybe like some ink fell on it. Like, nobody's gonna, come on, could you just honor the check? You have the money, honor the check. You don't want to make it, don't make a check next time. No one's gonna take him seriously. No one's gonna like, and that's much more likely than who knows what. It's just a little signature. What's the big deal? It's not even a poem, it's not even anything complex. It's a little complex signature, okay. But no one's going to even relate to him. I said, you're joking. Forgery, maybe, because it could be done. It's got an intelligence. So we need to take the world and we need to find the, right, Ela Yud Mem, right, Elohim. If you look at it, it means this whole natural array that you see is really Yud Mem. It's the 50 gates of understanding. It's the 50, it's the Chin of Yam, which is Das. It's supposed to give you an understanding of where did it come from? Where am I going? What am I doing here? That's what I'm supposed to have. That's what Elohim is. Paro just grabbed the Yud Mem. He just ate it. No Yud Mem. I have the Das. No Das. I could trick. That's why Paro is the words Paro is Ha-Ored, meaning the back of the neck. It doesn't let anything through from what's in the head to affecting the body, affecting the real person at all. The reality is, you know, what's important is the material world. We need to worry about it. We need to focus on it. And spiritual, there'll be plenty of time for that. Don't worry about it. That's what Paro wants. Don't worry about it, spiritual. Just physical. Only physical. Okay. So that's what Paro has. Yam. So the Ari explains that when you write out Yam, you have Yud. It's Yud Vav Dalet, and then Mem and Mem. So if you take Mem and Mem. So it's two, it's really two. So it says you're kind of doubling. Everything gets doubled. We'll see why in a minute. But everything gets doubled. It's all doubled. So we have, right, 4 times 40, another 4 times 10. But it's Mem, writing out Mem is Mem, Mem. Writing out Yud, Yud Vav Dalet. So it's two Mem. Then there's another, it gets, that's how you write it on the paper. But then for whatever reason, we'll see in a second, power is doubled. So when it becomes double, it becomes by, becomes, he doesn't know where he's, we'll see in a minute. But anyway, so it's doubled, that's what it is. So when it's doubled, we have 200. And then another 10 for the 10 aspects that he's trying to hold back with that, and we're fine. Now you have 210, and that's why 210 years it took to deal with Paro. Why is Paro doubled? Well, Rav Nasa explains in the Kutei Halachos that we have Matzah and Chametz. As the Sofer says, they're the same letters, Mem Tzadik. The only difference between matzah and chametz is a ches or a hay. There's a ches in chametz, and there's a hay in matzah. Fine, very nice. So he says ches means doubling the 4 elements. The 4 elements of a person. There is the part of him that's very hot, it's like fire. There's a part of him that's like water, it's calm and cool. There's a part of him that's like wind. There's a part of him that's like earth, that more like depression and downness, or being happy by having a muna. The fire I could use for good things, for connection to Hashem, or I could use the fire to burning anger, burning arrogance. The wind also, where am I speech going? Am I speech for good things, or am I speaking slander? And the same thing with water. Water is expansive. It causes growth. What am I doing with my tendency for expansiveness? That's how the Chaimital explains these four elements. So Rav Nelson says, when you're dealing with chametz, when there's no dot, so then everything is all skewed. It's like you have two of each. You have your aspiration, what I want, and then you have, you're being drawn to different misuse. That's one way to see it. Another way is we saw before that there's chasanim and gvuras in every element as double. It's either the kindness, expansiveness, or the limitedness, the tendency to make limits. So again, we have these four different bechinis, four different elements, and either it's four, and I am one person uniting in trying to serve Hashem. And I know I have ups and downs because I have this physical body. I'm kind of in a boxing match with him in a certain way. Because it can be hard sometimes. Sometimes it's really hard. This is not what I'm interested in. This is not what I want. And my body's drawing towards whatever it is. My soul's drawing towards something very, very different. And I have to make peace between the two. So the peace, when I have peace, I have, instead of ches, I take these four and I put a Ruach Chaim in. There's a spirit of life. Suddenly, I understand that, like Rabbi Nachman says, you hear the music. The world is filled with music all the time, but we don't hear anything. When we're a little connected to the music, then everything is different. It's like you're having a good day, everything's fine, it's all put together the way it should be. And I'm doing great, thank you Hashem, this is a good day. This is, I know, I'm in a different place now. I'm not in a, when a person here, let's say he wants to say chatzot, right? He wants to wake up in the night, he wants to say a good tikkun chatzot. There's a beautiful, beautiful prayer that says, it's a very powerful prayer. But it's hard for him. So he tries, and it works, and it doesn't work. And eventually he gets lucky, he runs into people who really say it with a lot of connection. And they're singing this beautiful prayer. And he's singing it because he's part of the kolo that sings the prayer. So he's still the dust. He's got this eight. When he's on his own, not really happening. When he's there, it's, you know, he's trying. It's a different person almost. He's in a different place when he's in the right environment. So what happens? At a certain point, the eight becomes four. And there's a real chaim in there. And even when this guy's alone, he's going to sing the chatzot because it's in him already. It's part of him. And he doesn't understand. Let's face it. Well, I don't understand. I used to say this in 5 minutes. What happened? Then I'm going to this call. It was very, very nice to say. I felt a really beautiful connection in this prayer, singing this prayer. But I never said it. Well, I was alone. Like, I just didn't manage it much, you know. And then it comes another call, and he's like, "This is part of me. I don't know what happened." The Ruach Chaim comes in. It's all good. It's matzah, not chametz anymore. Now it's matzah. He's not all blown up with all of his confusions and contradictions. It's just matzah. It's just simple. No problems. So power. That's why it's doubled. He likes to double everything. It gets all complicated. Everything's complex. Nothing blown up. Nothing is simple. No simplicity. This is Hashem. Turn to him and ask him, what do I do? Whatever you want. No. What about my rights? You owe me. Don't owe me. This is me. This is you. What's going on? And when you're real about it, you say, you know my rights? They're killing me. They're killing me. If I want my rights, and this person owes me, and that person owes me, and the other person, that's only fair, I'm constricting myself. So I have to just let go. Say, you know, okay, say that. No rights. I don't care. It's just from you. Whatever I have. This is, Rav Marash is very into this idea of like working it in, from the angle of that everything is from Hashem. And not focusing so much on the fact that it's also the person, it's also my choice. But focus more that it's from Hashem. And that way you'll be able to get to a place where everything's okay. And you won't ruin things by being pressuresome, by being overbearing, by being the way no one can handle, no one can bear. I have to be more level, and that's an easy way to be level. Because, when I feel like my friend, he owes me something, right? Let's say he can't give it to me. He just can't right now. He can't. He's busy or he's this. I want to go out somewhere. I want to do something, whatever it may be. And this person is not interested. Nah, I don't want. And this is a muscle for a lot of things. No, it's a parable. I mean, so I can say, what do you mean, you can? I know you can. You just don't feel like it right now. Or I can give them space. They can't. They just can't. It's the same thing with a lot of things in life. Just be willing to say, I don't want to be the one here who's the shalit. That's what the Gros says.
Say it over again.
I don't want to be the one here who is the master. The Gros says that Hashem has a throne, the world of the throne, the world of Bria. That's the world of Ruach. We spoke about before the wind, speech, that causes Hashem to gives a throne to Hashem. Now, he says there's always going to be a corresponding level on the wrong side of the fence. The other side, what's the corresponding level? The Gra says, well, the person puts himself in God's throne. He says, I am in charge. Ani ha-shalet. I'm the king.
You mean,
yeah,
the arrogance, like the clever one?
Very similar, but a little different, because he, I mean, yes, really, yes, it's true. It comes from the arrogance of the clever one. But then what happens is, he's going to show the world the next level. So the first thing is that arrogance of the clever one, that's more the fire, where he's upset, and he's obsessed, and he says, why would the king call for me? He's so self-deprecating, and yet then he comes this crazy arrogance. Must be there's no king. I saw the king. Nah, come on. There's this way, it's that way, blah, blah, blah. It's convincing. He's very compelling. But then what happens, that's the highest level, right? That's the fire. Then comes the wind. The wind is that I start to speak to people and tell them because I know better. I am the one. I understand. And that's where I put myself in front of you. You should really defer to me because I know. And this really, the truth is the opposite. I don't want to be in the throne. I want to put Hashem in the throne. Because when I'm in the throne, much like the wise man that you mentioned, very good point, I'm miserable. And I have no life. No life, no joy, can't talk to anyone. Because. Really, because I'm just, I feel small, for whatever reasons. Because I'm not perfect, or who knows what craziness is really driving that. But, like, I don't want to be in the throne, because, yeah, I'm going to kill myself in this throne. I don't belong here, it's not for me. It's a Shlomo Melech's throne. Anyone tried to get in there had certain special devices that made sure you couldn't stay. So, you know, like that's the way it is. Hashem's throne. You can't really get in Hashem's throne. I can get in Hashem's throne. I can try. It's not going to be. It doesn't fit well. And it's not for me. That's not what Hashem wants. Okay. So that's the beginning of double. And then you get straight. You have four elements, four basic elements, which are my spiritual makeup, and they have within them a Ruach Chaim, a spirit of vitality, and everything is good. That's Machu. And that's part of it. It's the opposite. He says, no, it's all complex. Everything is complex. It's not simple. You can't be simple. You can't say simply and say, you know, this is damaging to me, so I don't need to worry about it right now. It's not what Hashem wants. I don't care what Hashem wants. I want. What do I want? Who's the I? I don't know. The body, the nefesh, the animal soul. That's the I here. So then that's not so great. Not such a great eye. That eye is not going to lead us in a good place. When the horse is leading, it doesn't do so well. It doesn't know anything. It doesn't really understand. And that's Paro. Paro wants us there. He likes it better. Be my slave. And that's what he says. Keep working. Keep working. Don't think. Okay. Fine. L'chein shot al Yisrael k'neged achizaso v'shnei osos elu. Paro ruled on Yisrael as long as he could, like, stretch out his osis. It keeps on back and forth and back and forth, but at a certain point, it ends. And then it's over. Now, this point happens for a lot of people, and sadly, they're just not ready to, they don't care. That there was something compelling me, and I was in trouble, and I couldn't accept myself for who I am. And now I can, but I really don't want to. It's like a lot of hard work, and I'm not used to it. Really, the person can't, doesn't really move on, and it's too bad, because he can't. And just because he couldn't before, doesn't mean he can't now.
Does that mean they get so depressed they can commit suicide?
It can, if they're in a bad place. Or they're running away from them. I'm running away from myself. I have to keep my security blanket on. I have to keep things going. Let's see. There is every person has a capacity for cruelty. The cruelty I'm supposed to use to little push myself to go further and to be a little tough. But if we misuse it, it can cause suicide. I think it's very misused and it's all over. But the truth is, we're here for a reason, and nothing's going to help us. That's the real truth. Nothing helps. And usually people who fell like that, or almost fell, they almost committed, they tried or they didn't try. So they're missing something they really, really need, which is very, very hard to provide. Very hard to give. And we have to be patient. Say, Hashem, give me what I need to have so that I have a foundation of enough acceptance and love that I don't have to feel thrown to this at all. That's what I want. And God willing, it'll come. That's the way it goes. But yeah, that's the worst Mitzrayim. The person's like, finishes. I told this over a little bit before, a few days ago. Kasher Shama Shem Havaya Lepi Moshe Kanizker. And he asked Havaya, taking me in Sar. He said, oh, they have to actualize in all 10 levels on the level of Havaya, of reality, of existence, like living in the moment. Well, 10 times 26 is 260. So, from 210 to 260 is another me. I have another 50 years. Then talk to me.
And that's what Paro said.
Yeah, that's what Paro said. L'chein Omar, what did Paro say to Moshe? Me, Hashem. Hashem Bekalo, who is Hashem? Me. Who is Hashem? I have another me. What is Hashem? We're not, who is Hashem? Where do you get, I don't get the math. It doesn't add up. Hashem's not, they're not actualized. There's not way they could have been actualized like that in this time. It's impossible. L'chein Omar, Hashem. Pirish kishiyavu cheshman sar, az Hashem Bekalo. It's very interesting. I mean, Paro, he's saying these plagues, and yet he's not budging. It says that Hashem, Havaya, strengthened Paro's heart.
So what does that mean?
I'll get to that in a second. But first of all, the Rizal says, it's very simple. Paro kept saying to himself, but they're not ready to leave. They need to have, on all 10 levels, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. All 10 levels. They don't have it. So the Hashem, the fact that Hashem, Moshe said Hashem wants them to leave, was enough for Paro to say, I'm not letting them go. They're not ready. This is ridiculous. This is a travesty. Okay, he did a plague. He didn't do a plague. And he had a certain right. Now, in terms of strengthening a heart, Paro's heart, how could he have strengthened Paro's heart? What's going on? How could it possibly be? There are several approaches of understanding this. What's the easiest approach? Let's see.
I don't know. Strengthen his heart, because that's what he really wanted to do.
Gave him the ability to resist.
Really? He really wanted to do it, so he gave it to him. And as the suffering kept coming, he enabled him to bear the suffering. Because really, deep down inside, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to resist. He wanted to hold it. So he really gave him what he really wanted to do. But it says, you shouldn't let you walk in the way you really want to walk.
Yep. The Rizal said something here, though. Maybe we could just go with his approach also, which is just very simple. He said, Paro understood a lot. He was a very deep man. He knew the natural world. Till the very end, he had a lot of deep understanding. He was a big guru, Paro. And he realized that, again, the math just doesn't add up. And that enabled him to hold on. He said, I have emunah. I know that. So this stuff is on projects my amuna, not a problem. I'm just going on faith. This can't be, it's going to dissipate. Because, hey, they haven't acted. I know they're not actually like that. And it's coming from this place of Abai. He didn't understand Hashem's rachamim. He doesn't understand how Hashem really runs the world. He doesn't get it. So he said, they can't be. This is a travesty. It's impossible. That might work also. That's what he said.
He didn't have rachamim, so he wouldn't understand.
No, well, maybe.
But also, economically, the plagues weren't that severe the first, first four, or before the fire and the hail.
I'm not sure that economically he would have cared, because he was the king and they were like his serfs. He doesn't care about his subjects. The question is, what's correct? I have my picture. And it just doesn't fit into my picture, so I'm going to ignore it. It's the same thing when we all have a problem. When I have a problem, I just don't see. I don't get it. You know, there's a story they used to tell in the Vardic. It's how people relate to changing their character. How do people honestly see things? Once there was a band of drunks. These drunks, They love to drink. Someone came over to them and said, listen, my friends, I want to tell you something. Please don't be offended, but what you're doing is very damaging, also physically and also spiritually. I mean, you think Hashem wants you to sit and drunk and then don't do anything constructive. I mean, not to be members of the Jewish people like you should. I mean, this isn't right. You're gonna go up to Shemayim, you're not going to like what happens. I suggest you try to find a way to get out of this. So they were, you know, they were like, I don't know, I came on, are you serious? So they said, you know what, we'll make a pact. Each one will swear that when you go up to Shemayim, whatever happens, you'll come back and tell the leader of the group what happened, the first one to go. Okay. Soon enough, Nebuch, one guy gets whatever he gets for drinking too much, whatever his liver goes, Rahman Nebuch, poor guy, and he goes up to Shemayim. So he said to him, why did you drink? Who told you to drink like this? What's wrong with you? He said, I just didn't understand about seeing what will happen, like results. Here, I drank, I got drunk. Wake up, did it again. I sort of blanked out. I live in the moment. I can't suffer that little minute of waiting. I can't wait and say, I'm not gonna, I can hold it, I can do it. I just won't take that drink. I can't do it. I'm not capable. That's the way I was sent down. So I said, well, tell us, what do you drink? I drank wine, cognac, and this, that. It was whiskey? Whiskey's not tasty. No, but a moment later, glow, it's a fire. I said, so you see, you are capable of waiting now, aren't you? I said, oh, whoops. So then it comes down to leaders. So they said, so what should we do? He said, oh, it's not a problem. Just don't drink whiskey anymore. Don't change. Don't. Well, there's a problem. No problem. No, just, that's human beings. That's us. And I remember if I told the story of the Adon Vardik would say, he said, you know, people, they're like moths. So they used to have this like lamps, had a fire inside, and the moth would come in the glass,
the chimney, or the chamber,
whatever you want to call it, jump in this stove and pass the fire, and then it would be past the fire. It's really slowly roasting alive, and all it needs to do to leave is go back the way it came, and you see it like trying to, but then it has to get a little close to the fire for an instant. Now it could do it. It did it on the way in, but it won't make that jump to go past the fire. No, it's too hot. So it dies instead. It's incinerated slowly, or it suffocates, or incinerated, or both. I can't just. He said, "That's us." Also, we can't just break through. Go. Okay, it burns a little. So what? Otherwise, you stay here. It's not going to burn a lot worse. So we're the same way. Just can't do it. I'll find any excuse. That's power also. He said, well, let them go? I was wrong? For the first few plagues, so already that it becomes another thing. Well, I was wrong? No, come on. Anyway, the math doesn't end up. Come on, it doesn't. So he couldn't be broken. Break Paro, break me? No, never. He held himself to be some deity, some who knows what. He would go to the bathroom in the river. That's why Moshe came to tell him about the plague of blood when he was on his way to use the facilities in the early, early morning. Moshe came to meet him as he was about to go in. He gave him the whole thing about it's going to be blood. He goes in to do what he needed to do, and the river turns to blood. He was inside. I said, yeah, it's not a fun thing. Like, you think you're so great, Paro? You're not so great. You're just human. We know. We know all about it. Live long. Okay, so live long. So what? Doesn't mean he's something. He's divine. He's not divine. So yeah, Paro, that was probably the pride didn't let him. That was on a simple like Darius saying, I know it's not true. I'm invested in, I'm against this whole business of letting them go, and why should I let them go? No, never, not doing it. Od Omar Asher Eshma Bekolo. Who is Hashem that I will listen to his voice? Lemishadan Yeshbo Mochin, Feyochol Latzis Mirshusi, Shanechas Barosh. Who is Hashem Asher that I will listen to his voice? I'm holding on to the ability to access Havaya. That is with me. I'm confusing everyone. So why in the world should I listen? Why should I listen? Getting from the head to the body, like really accessing the mochin, the mentalities, and living with them, I don't let it happen. So that's why Dari says, that's why, Gamilas Rosh Hosius Asher. Who is Hashem Asher? Asher Aleph Shin Resh is the same as Resh Aleph Shin Rosh, that's the head. I trapped it all in the head. You can't bring anything out. You can't do anything. I'm in charge. So why should I let you go? Whatever for? All right. The head, give him most of the couples. You know, you can't, it's all these small, this constricted mentalities, and I can't get anywhere with them. Os Aleph Remez Elokim Pashut. Os Shin Reish Remez Abez Elokim. The Aleph is Elokim. The first letter of Elokim is Aleph. And then Reish and Shin is the numerical value of two other Elokims, different ways to write Elokim. V'chein Amar Adan Chasalai Mi V'chasalai Hamechin Shem Hashem. Listen, there's no me. Another 50 years to get even to be really actualized and see how they're living in the moment. Plus, Asher is with me. They have nothing in their head. Their head is not shining because it's all trapped. It's all not actualized. It's all. So then, why can't they leave? Kasharosh, you also call it Mazman. Oh my, Kibarach, I'm Kurun Zmano. Kibarach, I'm Matur Adu. They ran away. It's not time yet. It's 50 years early. What's going on here? I have to get out of here. He was right also. He was actually right because we didn't have the right to leave. That's why he had to send us. He sent us. They ran away. Barach. Did they fled? The Rish says, Barach, Reish, is 200. Bez is another 2, and Ches is 8, so it's 210. They ran after 210. It's not time yet. Bring them back. I have 15 more years. Why did I let go of my rights? Paro was a big man on rights. V'dakshi kasher rotza matzal il nesakin akol. L'hoshi su mitzvayim. Hashem said, it's time to fix everything and get us out of Egypt. We were in big trouble. We were like an embryo. We couldn't move. We're stuck. We can't get anywhere.
But we were stuck in the adultery. Not only the adultery, but the lust and the perversion of Egypt.
Was another problem. Although we were pretty guarded, actually. We were guarded, but we were in an environment that really held us back. We had to work. The work made it impossible for us to think about such things. Even for a wife to have children was a big job. She had a big job. She would beautify herself and meet her husband in the field. He couldn't even get home. He was so dead tired and finished. The Talmud tells us that it was in the merit of these women that we were able to leave Egypt. Not only that, it says that in times to come, in the merit of these women, we're going to leave this exile as well. And the Talmud of Eliyahu says, in the merit of women's self-sacrifice and having children. And you know, it used to be, like a few hundred years ago, or even less, we might have been confused. What do you mean? Everybody has children. Everyone, what's the self-sacrifice? Every woman was having as many children as she can, pretty much. That was the way it was usually. But today, when it's a sacrifice to have kids, and a lot of women are like, you know, plenty of time for that, I don't want to mess myself up, I don't want to tie myself down. We understand what the Medrash means. To know, if she's willing to sacrifice and have children, even though it's hard, and she sees a whole world beckoning and saying, why should you bother? If she's doing it anyway for a higher calling, well, that's an amazing, amazing marriage. And that's going to get us out.
I mean, that's our generation. From World War II, 1948 to 1964, it's called the baby boomers. Wow. The reason for that is after the war, women got married and they had children. A lot of children. Nowadays, statistically speaking, according to the Pew Research Institute study in 2013, you have a 1.4 fertility rate. In Jewish reform or secular in America,
keeping themselves.
It's not
their own numbers.
Right. For Orthodoxy, it's
4.2.
That's better. But that's what it comes down to. That it's a sacrifice. It's a big deal. Again, like if we had spoken about this 200 years ago, or certainly when it was like 1,000 years ago, no more, plus 2,000 years ago, no one would have understood us. Maybe again, there were societies where the women were less having kids. It depended. But there were a lot of many, many hundreds of years where everyone had as many as they could. They didn't have any way of making sure they were healthy either. How many kids survived was really, and how many women survived having kids was also not a simple thing. So,
and then you had epidemics like mumps. chicken pox. I'm not even talking about smallpox, bubonic plague, whooping cough, polio. How about TB?
Yep.
Tuberculosis.
Yes, indeed. No, it's very hard. It's very hard. So people were, they were having the kids just to have someone survive, hopefully. But today, it's a different, we understand very well. They're willing to have the children with self-sacrifice. Maybe foregoing careers sometimes, or at least taking a break from careers. Maybe, maybe not.
But they've done studies where they found out that the Western society, the quote, modern Western society, they've now dropped down to non-replaceable rates.
Wow.
Japan, 1.7. England, the majority is now Muslim.
You mean babies, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, that means
France.
France is going to be before England, majority Muslim, I would imagine.
Yeah. And then you have, like, France has turned into really bad.
Hashem should protect us. It's not a simple, not a simple world we live in. What happens then? When you have a majority Muslim in France and a majority Muslim, or almost majority Muslim in England, what then?
Right now, officially, the courts in England recognize is Islamic law, Sharia law.
Slowly but surely.
As of, what, 2-3 days ago?
Give them time. They'll make it the law.
No, it's now.
I would imagine that not everyone has to keep the law. Sharia law, I think they just validated, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So far. But it's there'll like be a time Jewish where it's going to be Jewish like Saudi Arabia.
The whole Jewish dependencies is the law.
Yeah, no, this is, that's the thing. There's going to be a time where it's going to be like
right.
some theocracy, it seems like, and I hope not. I hope
the dictator
not.
Dictator was killed in.
Doesn't look good.
What's his name in the north of here? North
Syria?
North Africa. What's the name of the.
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi said that if, in Europe, he said, "Wow, we don't even have to fire a weapon; we're just going to breed."
Yep.
Yeah.
They've got that one.
Remember what was it? 5 or 6 years ago, when they had massive riots in Paris and they were burning all the cars down at night.
Yes, indeed. Give them time. When they're the majority, it's going to be. That's one of the many flaws of democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, right? Who was it? Churchill. It's a terrible system, but there's no better one, so you got to go something. What choice do you have? Which is a good point, but the part of this, the flaws, is if people are going to, people are going to have, if they decide that we kill every firstborn, and they just, the majority, they're going to win, and that's the democracy. That's part of the problem. There's no bottom line where it has to be so. There are some checks and balances in the states. It's harder in the United States. But not so simple. When you're the majority, I don't care about your checks and balances. Just take over.
The United States basically does not have a constitution now. It's under a dictatorship. I won't go into the gruesome details. It's all on my website.
Shem Nazor, I don't know. These things I don't know. I just know one thing, which is that Rav Nosson did not like when people talk much politics. He said, because it's so easy to forget Hashem. Who's really making it this way? God. Who's enabling it? Hashem. Like Rav Chaim Vital said, when I don't like someone, I have a person, I can't stand this person. I can't, and he was his servant, I can't bear to be near this person. So Rav Chaim Vital says, who do you have a problem with, really? The person or his creator? Because God created him what he is, didn't he? So you have a problem with God. I mean, maybe you don't want to have a problem with Hashem. Maybe it's time to mellow down a little and say, God, I have to see the positives. This person, I guess they're very challenged. It's hard for them. It's hard. That poor guy. There's all sorts of people who are challenged, spiritually challenged. There's one person who's got Hasidic challenge. Anytime you mention Hasidism, he goes crazy.
I understand.
There are many people who are challenged inside. The guy's challenged. I just saw today someone challenged. This person cannot be polite. They were raised in a household which came from originally from Arab lands, and now they're here in Israel, and they're from part of a whole culture which you're not polite. You're not polite to lawyers. I'm sorry, to waiters. My apologies to about. You're not polite to anybody, pretty much, unless they're on your station. And it's like a whole weird way to act. And you see someone in the restaurant cringing. You're like, ugh. When this man or woman, whatever, puts out the hand and takes a sugar from the next table, doesn't ask, please pass it, doesn't, can I have a plate of cheese? So the waiter who's the same says, he's also that, he doesn't stand the mentality, no. And the person, no, but he's going to bring it anyway because he only saying no. It's like the person challenged. He doesn't, it's not his fault. This is the way they would pray. This is what my daddy did. This is what my granddaddy did. This is what we do. And that's it. And you try to say, you know, you're, besides profaning Hashem's name, I mean, it's just so pleasant for people who are used to politeness, to be polite. It just makes a different feeling. It makes a person feel very rough and raw when you're acting in such a strange way. And they're like, I can't change this. I can't change this. I can't change this.
You're touching your breath
at a seat
between
the lines. Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's fine. Don't want popping in your mouth. It's a high scale restaurant. No problem.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like people, and they just don't have tact at all. And the person's challenge is not their fault. It's like not his fault. Another person's challenged with his anger. So he gets totally so angry. He's still like, what happened? Relax. So you know, it says he has Gehenna, his rules over him. He has no life. He's fire. He wants to just drop dead. And here he is. And he's thinking, he doesn't realize, I have a challenge. This poor guy. I have problems. What can I do?
And what about the alcoholic?
The alcoholic. Oh, the alcoholic is a different problem. He's a slave. He's a slave. He's a slave to very destructive behavior. I mean, here, in terms of the manners, if a person is really connected the way he should be, it should be... It should be fixed. It should become fixed. But manners can be very outer, something that's not real. It's not the person. Something very surface. He's got polish. But it's going to be the biggest jerk. But they have polish. But in terms of an alcoholic...
See that? A lot of polish.
I mean, Rabbi Nachman speaks very at length about alcohol and alcoholics. He says a lot about it. He says if you sit and you work out, I mean, Adam and Eve... The Talmud tells us one opinion was it was grapes, and they were alcoholic. Noah messed up when he had grapes. So he goes through the whole thing after this one and that one. No, ruined everything again. How was it? There is the wine. Find the wine, lose the divine. That's the way it goes, and too bad. Too bad. Unless a person is really on the level to have for Hashem, which is tzaddik. That means his negative is the minus, the Yetzer is so completely nullified that it's really not bothering him. And he really doesn't feel above anybody else, really. Then maybe he should be drinking it, maybe not. Also in moderation. But otherwise, and that's Shabbos, Sen, Yom Kippur, when else? Why else would one drink? For what? So it's an iffy proposition. I mean, sometimes a little bit can sort of wake someone up. Some people, they do take a little l'chaim, they try to, some Hasidic sects. But Rabbi Nachman, I mean, he said, you know, they used to have a gathering of people where they would sit together and they would serve Hashem. And they take a little something to wake them up. He said, now, unfortunately, the main thing is they hardly say a word, it's just l'chaim. That's not the...
Something.
Rav Galinsky tells a story, actually, a Chatzos story. He tells a story of, he said, there was once a man who came to a house that was freezing cold. He was staying there as a guest. He used to get up to, you know, do this tikkun Chatzos. So he was doing that meditation, and he's sitting on the ground, he's crying, and his person comes out, is everything okay? Have your stomach hurt you? The food isn't good. I don't know what happened. He said, no, I said it was Chatzos, and that's what I do. And when he finished, this guy also said with him, he said, you know, usually afterwards I say l'chaim, I hope that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So there was something made l'chaim. So then after he left, simpleton, he said, you know, this is a good idea. He called all his friends and they got together and they made a little l'chaim, did chatzos and made l'chaim. Eventually it started again, like Rabbi Nachman says, started tilting. He said chatzos in about 10 minutes. I did about an hour of l'chaims. It wasn't so good. That's not the purpose. It's not that very easy to get confused. Again, like, you don't see straight. So alcohol is like really, it's a person's a slave. person comes from Russia, that's what he is. That's food is the same thing. But anger, at least I have to have this. I usually have to have someone step me up. The reason I ask is because I
see so much damage from the alcohol going from generation to generation to generation, getting worse and worse and worse.
It's not simple, that's for sure. Yeah, we don't understand the indelible impression our behavior as parents makes on our children. We just don't get it. And again, everyone's doing their best. I mean, people try. They try. They just can't get out of the what was done to them. They do continue doing. So it's not like they need it. It's not only alcoholics. It's everyone. Everyone has their problems.
And some things are just, lack of a better word, instinctual. It's like automatic.
Yeah. Reflex.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the guy, and you don't even understand. We don't see what's damaging this poor kid. I have this poor child with me. I just totally lose it. Okay, let's see after the Shema. Maybe? So it's very hard to get us out. Here we are, an embryo. We have no spiritual connection like we should. We can't leave. How are we going to leave? I can't get out of here. So Hashem did something very good. We were in the klipas. We were without any dot. So what do you do now? What do you do? So okay, you get the ekke. We're maybe just about willing, almost. But we're not. We have no dot. We have no. The person's such a slave mentality. You can't do anything. So
but weren't they also practicing the idolatry or whatever they were doing?
They were practicing the idolatry. The idolatry they were practicing. Yes, that was that. Yes, they were. They were not in terms of personal purity. They weren't so messed up. They just didn't have any energy. They didn't have any energy at all. So that maybe they could have, but they had opportunity. But it says they never did anything. It said the Hashem said they didn't. Nobody in Egypt, no Jew was acting inappropriately, which is pretty amazing.
What does that mean?
That means no Egyptian woman went near an Egyptian Jewish man. No Jewish woman went near an Egyptian man, except one exception. One exception. That's why Moses dealt with that taskmaster. That taskmaster was being the slave. He was the husband of the woman who this person fooled into thinking that he was her husband. Okay. Famously, Moshe came upon a taskmaster beating a slave. So, he killed him. How did he kill him? He actually talks about what happened there. Why did he kill him? And what happened? But anyway, he killed him. So, our sages tell us that this taskmaster was beating this slave to death. He was on his way to beating him to death. He was the husband which he, the taskmaster, had impersonated in order to be with this Jewish slave's wife. That was the one time when an Egyptian man had relations with a Jewish woman. Otherwise, it didn't happen at all. Idolatry, yes. Not licentiousness at all. That was the... And again...
So no sexual immorality.
No immorality, exactly. No immorality, but idolatry, yes. They were holding idolatry. And that was the influence of the Egyptians, where they were. They had to throw it away, their idolatry.
So they were worshipping all the Egyptian gods?
Yeah, or at least some. It was just a reflex. It was instinctive. It was, yeah, I'm sure it was also laws. You have to respect the sheep. You have to this, you have to that. It was legal matters too. Yes.
So the Egyptians were vegetarian?
I don't know. They didn't eat sheep, that's for sure. I'm not sure if they're vegetarian. They might have eaten, it sounds like they eat birds. It sounds like it.
It was interesting. I saw a science episode where they picked up a cadaver. It was very old, and they mummified them. They still had everything, like their arteries and everything intact, their heart and everything. So they were able to look at it, and they saw a huge amount of buildup on their heart and on their veins. And what it was is because they ate maize, and that's all they ate. That was their main diet. And that is a tremendous amount of cholesterol.
Interesting.
So they said the life expectancy was very like 40 years old. They were very old. They're all 40 days, so very young.
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it could be that this person was pretty idle. It could be he didn't do anything awful. So then he's got to build up. He got to move around a little. I mean, I don't know. But we were in trouble. So Hashem wants to spring us. It's time for us to leave. How are we going to leave? How do you get these people out? Okay, what happened? Rav Nosson says, and maybe it's better to understand it from how this applies to every person all the time, and then we'll understand what it's saying here also. He says, you have a person who's devastated, he has nothing. He's a slave, basically. He needs to leave his slavery. How can I leave my slavery? I can't. So sometimes when it's time and he can, Hashem shines into him this wonderful light. He really sees like everything's going to be okay. You just do what you need to do and it's going to be fine. You can do it. He doesn't know where it's from. He doesn't know what it is. And then he's able to extricate himself from it. So that's what happened in Mitzrayim. Hashem gave us this tremendous illumination. We're willing to leave it, so we're out of here. We can bypass the problem of Paro, and now with such light, Paro just has no grasp anymore. That's what they're reading. That's how they're reading.
That's how
it's called.
It's like all the attachments were still trying to grab us, and they couldn't because we were reading. It's very interesting.
Wow.
To see it.
You mean we were still attached?
When we were leaving the United States, thinking, oh yeah, all the attachments that were there were still trying to attach to us, but we had already broken everything. But they were coming at us to try to keep us. All the things, wow. You could feel it, sense it, but there's no attachment.
Unbelievable. Interesting.
Yeah, we left with 19 suitcases. I mean, huge duffel bags.
Yeah.
And one house.
Unbelievable. We'll see what it'll be today.
We'll have a sandwich while we're getting ready to go.
He says usually there's a course in Kashrut. You get from 4:30 to 5.
Okay.
So I don't know what I'll do with that pathway to joy today. I might be...
The pathways are blocked.
Anyway, as you might realize, I actually have to meet a lawyer today. So I keep messing up waiters and lawyers. So
The pathways are blocked.
It's okay. I can continue also or not, as the case may be. We'll see.
Whatever you want.
They're throwing us out. I don't have anywhere to be. Like, where can I be that could be recorded? Is there any place?
Blockings in Hebrew.
I have no idea.
Blockings. Lakutalakas. Rabbi Nelson says it all the time.
Sin Tumim. Constrictions.
Constrictions.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But, I'm thinking about maybe I'll head out in another few minutes and we'll just finish the next paragraph.
I did Bada. Okay, so we need to get a new one.
You need a sticky?
No, we need to get a new work.
Ah, that's right, but there's another page. All right, maybe it's time to stop.
Okay.
Okay.